Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most out of your midlife.
For our listeners out there, we have a special guest today who is truly a special guest. It is our own tech expert and good friend and woman of many hats, Elizabeth Saint.
Yay. Thanks for having me.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah. there was a lot of, I won't even say there was a lot of thought that went into asking Elizabeth to be a guest. We've actually been thinking about it for a while. Elizabeth, you do so many interesting things. You are, to me, an absolutely fascinating person. And just to rattle off a few, you are a paranormal investigator. You are an engineer. You are our tech person for this podcast. You have your own social media platform, which is very successful. You have done some acting, and you're a mom of two kids. And so, and you're at the beginning of midlife. So, you know, you're just fascinating. And how do you manage it all?
That's a big question.
No, it's a huge question. You know, when I was younger, my dad used to actually get on me about it. He'd be like, you have too many pokers in the fire and you have to, like, you know, you can't be doing so many things at once. But I always told him ever since I was little that I envisioned myself having like five different careers. And I found that it was actually really difficult for me when I just focused on one, because I found myself, I just didn't feel fulfilled whenever I just focused on one thing. Because if I was just focusing on engineering, I was missing out on the artistic side of myself. If I was just focusing on that, I was missing like working with gear and, you know, equipment. And so I find myself happiest when I am doing all the things I want to do and not limiting myself to just time, which if I didn't have to sleep, I wouldn't.
Well, you're satisfying all those needs that probably make you feel more whole as well, and like you're not missing out on anything. That takes some great multitasking.
Yeah,
for sure. Can we dive into the paranormal for
yes,
a moment?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So for listeners, if you want to tune in to the Ghosts of Shepherdstown, you will see Elizabeth there. One of the things I think about when I think about you that I appreciate and admire so much is that you allow yourself to be seen. Like, if I had felt spirits or been a sensitive or any of those things, or decided to go into the paranormal space and let people know that I belong there or I enjoy that or that's more of an interest, there is a piece of me that would be so guarded about how somebody would interpret that or judge me. I love the fact that you are so brave, so courageous, and you allow yourself to be seen, like, for who you are. And there's so much strength in that. How'd you get there?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that so much. There's two sides to that. The first is, honestly, when I signed on to be a part of the show, at the time it was on a network called Destination America. And for myself, I was like, oh, I don't know Destination America. It was owned by Discovery. I thought to myself, like, oh, this is a really cool opportunity. The producer said that we would be able to investigate an entire town and the hauntings happening in this town. We'd be able to work with their law enforcement, local town historian. And I was like, what a cool opportunity. Let me do it. Let me do it, not thinking that anybody would actually see it.
Oh,
and so, I was like, because at the time, because, you know, I had moved down to the D.C. area for my engineering job with the Department of Defense. And I didn't know anyone down here. So on the weekends, I was doing like little reenactment acting jobs. And I found the local paranormal team to start investigating. Like, we have so many amazing historic places down here. So I would investigate like on the weekends with them. And so for me, when I signed up to do the show, I was just like, oh, no one will see this. It'll be fine. It'll be a cool thing I do. No friends, family, nobody. And it ended up the very first episode breaking 1 million in viewership, and everything changed after that point. So I didn't expect it. It threw me into a world that I, to be completely blunt, I was not prepared for. I wasn't prepared for the online feedback you get from people that you don't even know. So that's one part of it. And then in terms of the vulnerability, the second side is like the paranormal, the spiritual, religion. It's a very private experience for many people, myself included. It's not something like my experiences I had ever since I was a child. It wasn't something that I shared with people around me, friends, family. Nobody really knew that I was into the paranormal, except for maybe my parents. But it wasn't these weren't things that I shared, because at the time, if we're talking like, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it wasn't really a subject people were open to discussing. And you think to yourself, OK, I'm having these experiences. Someone's going to think I'm crazy if I just start talking about them. So I kept it to myself. I made it very private. And with the show, like I said, I wasn't expecting it to kind of blow up the way that it did. Mm-hmm. And at the time, I wasn't necessarily ready to handle what came with that. But looking back, I'm so happy that it happened, because over the past 10 years, I've seen how much of an impact it's had on people in the paranormal spiritual community, especially when you go to conventions and you have conversations with people, and you can tell that your vulnerability, like you're mentioning, really touched them in some way, shape, or form. It's really changed their life. The biggest thing for me is like also kids have been impacted. I've had kids come up to me and show me like gear that they've thought about building. Aww. And things like that, which is really cute. So there has been reward. It came much later, and that vulnerability piece was hard to get to, but now that I'm here, I'm so happy that I get to share it with other people.
Because you do allow people to see you now. I mean, you do have a presence in social media or in media in general. And I like that because it does touch people.
One of the things I also think is interesting about your experience with Ghosts of Shepherdstown, you and I talked about this, you are sensitive, which means, or at least this is how it's presented in the show, but I think it is true. You feel the presence of sort of spiritual energy. But you actually went beyond that because you have an engineering background and you wanted to do more than just be the person sensing there were spirits in the room and actually develop your own equipment to track them. So tell us a little more about that.
Yeah. So when it comes to, you know, reality television, everybody kind of has their role, or that's how it's kind of portrayed and cut and edited that way, which is fine. And yes, like they use the word sensitive. I wouldn't know exactly how to categorize what I am or what I feel comfortable saying that I am. But I've had all kinds of experiences through my life that led me to a place where I am absolutely fascinated by the paranormal. It's now been a very big part of my life. And that transition to integrating the more logical side of my brain has been rewarding and difficult. You know, I feel like there's two sides always competing. There's a side of me that's always experienced things. And then there's a side of me that's like, well, no, I have a logical explanation for you, Elizabeth. This is probably why it happened. And it was nothing spiritual or paranormal about it. I really struggled with that for the longest time. After season one of Shepherdstown, Nick Groff, who was a co-host on the show with me, he was filming another show, Paranormal Lockdown, at the time. And he said, you know, I'm coming up on filming this new show that I'm doing. You're an engineer. Why don't you build something for me? And in that moment, I was like, why don't I build something for him? What? wait a second, why haven't I built anything this whole time? I was like kind of kicking myself a bit. And I was so excited. I was like, yes, I'll build something for you. And so the first device that I built for the paranormal was something that we called the E-Box. Probably needs a different name. Okay. But it was essentially this box that had four corners, and it would either say yes, no, hello, goodbye. They wanted something for that particular location, Franklin Castle in Ohio. They wanted something that would communicate with the children's spirits at that location. And so I thought, like, okay, Jack in the Box, I'll make it kind of box shape, wooden, more antique looking. And I recorded my voice on the track for when something comes in the vicinity of one of the corners, it will respond with yes, no, hello, goodbye. But it kind of turned out to be a very scary device because I recorded my voice, but then I manipulated it a bit. And so when they use it on location, when it would respond, it would be like, yes, in a very deep, like, and I'm watching this because I went on location as they were using this equipment. And I'm watching them film, and I'm just thinking to myself, this is a disaster. No child is going to want to play with this thing if there's actually child spirits at this place.
Still an accomplishment.
I know. No, so, but you know what? Like, that was the starting point for me. Mm-hmm. And then I built a few more devices for that season one. I think I maybe made two. And then when we started filming season two of Ghost of Shepherdstown, I think every episode I had at least one device that I had made. I was so happy they let me do that, even though I was just like, you know, the sensitive on the show. I did want to make a point that, you know, like, you can be more than one thing. It's okay to present a female as doing more than just sensing and feeling.
True.
I didn't like that presentation of me, and I kind of made it known. So when the producers allowed me to make my own equipment for the show, I was so, so happy because I felt like, you know, they're kind of missing out on what I could represent for other young girls or other people that were interested in being taken more seriously.
You went into engineering in college. Was there any specific thing that led you that way? Were your parents engineers? We all think of males as engineers, even though there's a lot more females now in that space. What was it about you that you just were drawn to engineering?
Yeah, so my dad was a CFO of an advertising agency in Philadelphia. My mom was a school nurse. And so, there were no engineers in my family. I'm actually adopted. And so I had a coach tell me once, a soccer coach that was also adopted. He said, you know, you have to view yourself as a blank slate, and you can't. The great thing about being adopted is that you kind of are a blank slate. You don't have a point of reference or expectations mm-hmm. necessarily on who you're supposed to be. But ever since I was a child, I love Lego. I love building blocks. I love computers. I mean, my very first computer was like the old Apple black and white floppy disks. Like,
I just remember those.
Yeah, I just loved all of it. And so when I went to school, I struggled a bit with what I wanted to do. So I went into computers because I was always good at it, and I was required to take an intro to circuits class.
Oh.
It changed my life. Like, I just, from that, I immediately changed my major to engineering, electrical engineering, and I was so happy that I did that. There was just something about it. Maybe it was a professor. I think for me, it was like the hands-on building of these circuits, and I didn't know anybody from my life that did stuff like that. And so it was just kind of a whole new world.
Totally innate.
Totally. Yeah.
Totally innate. Your professors in school must be so proud of you.
Yeah, I had great professors. Yeah.
You know, as you're talking, a thought occurred to me, and I wonder if it's occurred to you, right? You went into electrical engineering. Humans, spiritual energy is electrical, right? Or at least that's that thought. Have you connected those thoughts or...
Yeah, actually, yes and no, and only because, okay, we're going to get a little crazy here for a second, but I...
That's okay, we like to keep it real,
okay,
so.
So I actually, one of the sports I did growing up was, I actually played golf, and so I, and this is going somewhere, And so I did a golf tournament one summer after my senior year of high school. And there were storms approaching. And I called up the clubhouse and I said, hey, you know, there's storms coming. Should we mark our balls and come in? And they're like, oh, no, we don't believe it's going to come this way. The group that I was with, the four of us, we were the furthest away from the clubhouse at that time. And the sky started getting darker. Everything started coming in. And I just said to them, you know, like, okay, I think that we really need to mark our balls and go inside. It's not looking good. The lightning was coming. The storm was coming. And like 2 minutes later, torrential downpour. So everybody had already hit off their first ball. And so they were already walking up the side of the fairway and I was kind of left behind. Everybody was by, I guess, the pin at that point, and I was still in the middle of the fairway marking my ball. I remember going down and marking my ball, standing up and seeing the most beautiful streaks of light I've ever seen in my life around my face. And then I don't remember anything else.
You got hit by light.
I did. And
wow.
I did.
Yeah. I did not know that.
I did.
And mind you, like up until that point in my life, yes, I've loved computers. Yes, I've had experiences with the paranormal that I wasn't talking about with anybody. But I was an AB student. I wouldn't have considered myself like smart by any means. And then I had this incident happen where I was struck by lightning, and the girl that witnessed it, that was part of the group before, I remember coming to, standing up. My clubs were no longer on my back. I naturally motioned to go pick them up, and she's like yelling at me through the storm, "Don't touch your clubs. What are you doing?" And later, I was able to get back to the clubhouse. My memory was like not there. My parents came to pick me up. I didn't go get checked out afterwards, I think, because I felt okay. But the way she described it was like the largest bolt of lightning that she's ever seen actually came down on top of me.
But no entry or exit.
No.
You got hit by probably the peripheral,
hit the combat clubs.
Yeah. And so then you were.
The clubs were
and
right
it went
back.
Through you.
I think it arced around me.
Yeah.
And went to the ground. I think I was very
You
fortunate.
Were so
yeah,
lucky.
I was so lucky.
You were struck by lightning.
Yes. Yeah. So, which brings me to what you're saying here is, so then I go to college, like, you know, that fall, and that's when the shift happened. And then like, suddenly, this is going to sound so weird, but suddenly, like, I was very into academics and I loved all of my classes. Like I had like this newfound appreciation for school, which I wasn't really into before. Before I was just like into my sports and you know, I was pretty laid back, and it really changed my life. And if you think about it from a spiritual perspective, there is like a shaman perspective when it comes to lightning in general and being struck by lightning and what that means in terms of like your soul's journey and progression and stuff like that. So I think that it was meant to happen to shift my life. And now when I look back at it, it makes perfect sense to me why the spiritual and my engineering have kind of come together in that way.
That is fascinating.
What a great story.
Well, I will say you bring a lot of energy to a lot of things, including this podcast. And so, you know, the other piece of you that I want to talk about a little bit is what you've done for us.
Okay.
Because you really, I mean, for folks who followed this podcast from the beginning, we had a very different look. And although we sometimes had Elizabeth recording us, we also had other folks recording us. And then we sort of shifted a while ago to the new format and to Elizabeth exclusively. And it's made a world of difference because you have a real sense. And I think it's both because you understand the technical and the engineering, but maybe because you've done television and you've done your series, you understand the presentation part of it. But you also just have great energy,
like talent.
And like creativity. When we have conversations, you add value to what we're talking about. I wonder what that I know what the experience is like for us.
Right.
What is it like for you to be our production manager on a podcast?
We're 20 years older.
Yeah.
Yeah. For two older women.
We're on the other side of midlife for the most part.
You know, So back in when the pandemic happened in 2020, a lot of stuff shifted. We were no longer filming on location. I didn't really know what I was going to do at that point because my career had shifted from engineering to film, documentary, reality TV production, which was great. Mm-hmm. But then when the pandemic happened, I felt a little lost. It's like, what am I going to do? I've learned so much over the past 5 years, 10 years in the TV world. What am I going to do now? And so I started my own business with Evocation Media, and that shift for me, I found, particularly over the past 5 years, has been very rewarding because I get to work with all kinds of clients all over the world and all different sectors that I never thought that I would have hands in before. And for me, on the other side of the camera, I think the most rewarding thing is seeing people's thoughts, ideas, dreams come to reality. And I had great advice from someone years ago when I was in my early 20s, you know, that they said to me, you don't even realize it yet because you're so young, but you have the ability to turn your dreams into reality. And that always stuck with me. And I love that I get to do that with other people now. And so being behind the lens, being behind the screen for my clients is so rewarding.
Because, and the editing piece.
Yeah, because we get to create something that was just a thought before. And now it's something we can look at, we can touch, we can share with the world. And as I approach 40... this year, which is hard to say a little bit. I've loved listening to you guys through all of these episodes. It's helped me so much in my transition. Oh, like gosh. I go home and I talk to my husband about it, and I'm just like, you know, like it's amazing what they're doing. It's inspiring. Like just because you're older, it doesn't have to change. Our world is so hung up on being young and youthful and. Like girls in their 20s feeling like they have to get plastic surgery and like all this body modification just to keep this youthful appearance. I just don't like it's so hard to watch from the outside. I wish it wasn't like that, but you make me feel like I can enter my midlife with grace and like excitement for what's to come, because now like we say it all the time. I wish I knew now what I knew then.
Right.
But I can appreciate what I know now and what I have to offer in the future because of it. And listening to you guys has been a real joy for me.
Thank you. Your 40s are going to be great. I feel younger in some ways, maybe because I'm empty nest as well.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have the children. It's just my husband and I. I feel younger now than... I just feel youthful and young. A lot of energy. I mean, a lot of space has been opened up. You're going to love your 40s. One thing that I like about you too, and maybe you can talk a little bit about this, there is a piece of you innately that is a risk taker. Mm. I think entrepreneurs in general are risk takers. Going into places where there's spirits or spiritual, that's a risk taking. Mm. Even putting yourself out on TV and in the media, that is risk-taking. Where did that come from? Have you always been a risk-taker? Is it something that developed over time? Because these aren't like little risks, like taking a different pathway home. I mean, these are like
these
big
risks.
Like trying to avoid traffic and you end up in more, that risk. But
potentially soul-altering risks.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I'd be scared.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I guess there's two sides to that. When it comes to the paranormal, I think unless people have had their own experiences or you put yourself in a space where you're being truly vulnerable and there is an energy there, none of us, I think, can say definitively we know what that is, but we do feel it. Mm-hmm. It's like you just think about when you're in the room by yourself and you feel someone enter the room. And you turn around and you're like, oh, there is somebody there. You feel that person before they're even coming into the room. And you know, when we go to these historic locations where so many events have taken place, and you're alone in a space and you're feeling that energy and you know it's not coming from you. And after years of doing it, like, you can tell the difference. Like, am I nervous or am I feeling someone else? And yeah, sometimes I question it a bit. It's like, is this what I want to be doing? Is it, like, people always talk about, like, bringing stuff home. Like, you have a family. And I think about it sometimes, because the truth is none of us know. We're all in the dark.
Right.
We have faith and beliefs. Mm-hmm. And it's great to have our personally held beliefs. But at the end of the day, none of us knows what happens when the lights go out. We don't really know. And I think faith is fantastic and important. I think religion is important. But we still don't all know. So somebody's right. Somebody's wrong. Maybe we're all wrong. But for me, I feel like I've been in situations where I've been truly helping people. And I think that's what drives me to push myself beyond what worries me or fear or, you know, make that leap to being brave in those situations, is because it's exploration for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
If I can become a little bit more knowledgeable about something or have an experience that helps other people, I think that that goes a long way. And I started off my paranormal journey with our team, where we would help people that were having hauntings. And
right.
And we worked with the paranormal clergy at that time as well. And so we would get some really serious cases where people were having energies and hauntings in their home. And when you can leave someone's space and have it be better, like, yeah, that was so important to me.
Did you ever have fear?
I would say...
Well, you made it through lightning.
Yeah.
Yes, that's like the most fearful.
Yeah, I think that I was always a tomboy growing up. My dad didn't know what to do with a little girl. Like, he asked my mom, is like, what do I do? She's a girl. Like, what? And she's like, everything you would do with a boy. And I think my dad took that to heart. So I was always helping him with his tools. I was always playing sports. Like, I was raised to be strong. And so, I might be feeling a lot on the inside, but I'm not going to show it. I'm going to be cool about it and calm about it, because I actually find that it's more beneficial than just freaking out.
And there is a confidence about you. Like, I mean, you have presence. You have true presence.
I have one last question for you.
Yeah.
From my side, you may have more. But your mom, you have a 10-year-old and you have a baby.
Yeah.
Two?
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you balance? So you have your own business.
Yeah.
You have a fairly robust social media presence, which I know takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to run a social media account and keep up on it, as you do. And you, at the end, you can tell everybody where to tune in to you.
Yeah.
But how do you balance that with motherhood? Because I think for a lot of women at the sort of beginning midlife stage, they still have kids at home. They want to explore things. They're done with education and sort of the early career part of it. They're settling into something, but you have to juggle that with kids. So how do you juggle it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that the struggle for me, my personal struggle, has always been time and balance. When I was younger, I wasn't very good to myself at carving out time for me. I think a lot of people don't know this, but I started filming Ghost of Shepherdstown 2 months after having my daughter. Mm-hmm. And so I was 30 at the time. And I think that sometimes we feel like, because we have these other things in our life, we have children, there's so many obligations that comes with being a wife, a mother, that we oftentimes forget ourselves and how to take care of ourselves and do things that we love to do and passionate about. And I was so happy that at that time that the show kind of forced me into a place where I have to show up. I have to do these things because I signed on to do this. And I don't think I would have given myself that. I would have sacrificed myself more and my time to not pursue that. And now that I'm older, you know, and I just had my son a couple years ago, it's different now. You know, I had him when I was 38. I was 30 when I had my first child, my daughter. And My perspective is different. How I feel about life is different. I'm very good to myself now where I wasn't in the past. I would be all about work. I felt like I had to work. I had to do these things. I had to get it done. And I didn't carve out space and time for myself. And now I feel like I've struggled a little bit getting back into projects for me. And so my struggle now has been finding time for myself again. But oddly enough, in the past 2 weeks, I have all of these people coming to me. There's like 5 different projects that people have proposed to me. And I think for myself now, I am forcing myself to have a yes year where I am just going to say yes to everything that everybody wants to do.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
Because, yeah, the past 2 years, I've been kind of a ghost. I haven't been posting on social media. I haven't been doing things in the paranormal community like I used to. And I'm excited to start doing projects for me because so much of my time over the past 10 years has revolved around projects for other people.
I think that's great. I think in 30s and 40s, when we're building a family, we get pigeonholed into our roles. I'm guilty of that. Being a wife, being a mother, and our career. I did not put a lot of time aside for like curiosity, yeah, as well as the fit. Because, I mean, you are curious about certain things and it has led you into professional careers and I guess almost like fingers of things. I didn't lean into that. I wish I had. I'm definitely doing it now, you know, but I think about when I picked up my first camera, I was almost 50 years old. I did not make that time. I think it's wonderful that you found that balance, that you're doing that and doing it so successfully.
Yeah. I think there's a lesson in there, too, for other women in that sort of transition stage where you have kids, you're taking care of the kids, but then you start to move out as the kids get a little older and have a little more time to focus on yourself. That moment of sort of early childhood when you're all in all the time with your kids, it is just a moment.
Yeah.
It will move on and then you will have space. So you can sort of accept and immerse yourself in that, but keep one eye on the future and start thinking about what you want to do because you will eventually have time to do those things.
Yeah, that's so true.
So where could, how could our listeners find you?
Yeah, you can go to ElizabethSaint.com. Most of my social media is at ElizabethSaint_. I think you could just Google it.
And find.
And you find weird stuff.
Elizabeth Saint. Is there anything else, Elizabeth, that you, that we haven't asked or that you'd be interested in telling about yourself? You are interesting.
Yeah. I think my best years are ahead. I'm particularly going back to carving out time for myself and starting my own projects. I'm so excited about that. And I think it's time. I just need to do it. It, people say all the time, just do it. Like, I just have to do it. Yeah. And stop making, I don't want to say that I make excuses, but I'm so quick to help everybody else sometimes. I need to be better about saying yes to myself.
And just executing,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Just executing. Yeah.
Well, for our listeners, I hope you've appreciated hearing from our behind the scenes partner, who you don't usually get to hear from. And Elizabeth, thank you so much for sharing about yourself. It's not easy, but you just have so much to bring to the table.
Thank you.
So beauty.
And beauty.
Incredible beauty.
Thank you both so much.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.